Welcome to EAN Cast, your weekly source for education, research, and updates from the European Academy of Neurology.
Hello and welcome to the EAN Cast, Weekly Neurology. My name is Elisa Canu, and I am a neuropsychologist and researcher at San Raffaele Hospital in Milan, currently serving as co-chair of the EAN Scientific Panel on Higher Cortical Functions. My research focuses on the structural and functional correlates of cognitive and behavioral features in neurodegenerative disorders, with particular focus on frontotemporal lobar degeneration. This month's topic is ALS and frontotemporal dementia, and in today's episode, we will talk about social cognition in ALS beyond motor neurons. My guest today is Anna Giglioli. She is a neuropsychologist and postdoctoral researcher at the Neuroimaging Unit of Neurodegenerative Diseases of San Raffaele Hospital in Milan. Her research focuses on the neural correlates of social cognition, with particular emphasis on emotional reserve across the different variants of frontotemporal dementia. Welcome, Anna, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Elisa, and hello, everybody.
So we can start with the first question. Anna, ALS is often thought to be a purely motor disease. Is that really the case?
It's definitely not the case. Over the last two decades, we've seen a paradigm shift. We now firmly establish ALS as a multisystem disorder. Research highlights that ALS exists on a clinical pathological continuum with frontotemporal lobar degeneration. About 50% of our patients can experience some form of cognitive or behavioral change, while 10-15% meet the full criteria of FTD. A much larger group exhibit milder cognitive deficits. These no-motor features are critical because they are intrinsic component of the disease pathology, not just secondary complication, and they hold significant prognostic implication.
So, Hannah, among the main cognitive abilities, there is also social cognition. But what is this domain?
Think of social cognition as an umbrella term for the mental processes that allows us to navigate the human world. It's what allows us to develop civilization. We break it down into four interdependent domains. The first is the theory of mind, which is the ability to attribute mental states, thoughts, motives, and intention to ourselves and others. It has a cognitive component, which is knowing what someone thinks, and an affective component, understanding what they feel. The second domain is empathy, which is the ability to understand another person's feeling through a vicarious emotion experience. The third domain is the social perception, which is a high-speed scale. It's our ability to distinguish a person's identity, gender, and emotional status from just a brief glance at their face. And the last is social behavior, which is the end results, the observable action and interaction shaped by all the processes above.
How do social cognition impairments manifest in ALS, and what are the early clinical signs through which they can be recognized?
So, in ALS, this impairment often manifests as a progressive blunting of social awareness. One of the early signs is a diminished psychophysiological arousal to emotional stimuli. Clinically, we see that patients often struggle to recognize and attribute specific emotion, particularly disgust and surprise, followed by fear, anger, and sadness. A key sign is the breakdown of affective theory of mind. The patient might understand what you are thinking logically, but they can no longer process how you are feeling. Family often notice increased apathy or a perceived coldness. This isn't a voluntary personality change, but a direct result of the disruption in the neural pathway responsible for emotional processing.
So I think the people which is listening is curious about which are the main tools, the main neuropsychological tools are used to assess social cognition in ALS patients. How can assess this domain in ALS?
Sure. Thank you for the question, Elisa. When assessing social cognition in ALS, the primary requirement is that tools must account for physical limitation, particularly motor speed and speech impairment. We prioritize brief, validated batteries that specifically adjust for this disability to avoid overestimating cognitive decline due to physical weakness. A very effective approach involves tasks where patients are asked to infer the intention or emotion of a character depicted in a series of vignettes, which allows us to evaluate both the cognitive and affective component of the theory of mind. Additionally, emotion recognition tasks based on the facial expressions, such as the classic Paul Ekman faces, are commonly used to measure the patient's ability to identify specific states like disgust, fear, or sadness. We also evaluate the perception of prosody or vocal tone to gather a more complete picture of social processing. The main advantage of this method is that they require only simple vocal or motor responses, such as pointing. These ensure that even as the disease progresses, we can accurately monitor the patient's social cognitive health.
But very clear, Anna, thanks. I was wondering why social cognition is affected in ALS. What are the neurobiological mechanisms underlying social cognition in patients with ALS?
So this is a really complicated question, but these deficits are driven by the degeneration of frontostriatal and temporal circuits caused by the accumulation of TDP43 protein in a key empathy-related areas like the orbitofrontal cortex and anterior cingulate. Research shows that gray matter loss in these regions directly correlates with difficulties in attributing emotions, while white matter alteration disrupts the communication between the limbic system and the frontal lobes. Using functional MRI, research discovered that changes in resting state connectivity can predict social deficits 6 months in advance. Even in purely motor cases, damage to structures such as the left pallidum affect the perception of specific emotion like disgust, confirming the multisystem nature of the disease.
So why is so important to detect very early this social cognition impairment in ALS? What are the clinical and prognostic implications of social cognition deficits in these patients?
So it fundamentally changed the trajectory of care. Patients with this deficit often have poor prognosis. These impairments are directly linked to reduced compliance with critical life-sustaining interventions such as non-invasive ventilation. If you can perceive the emotional logic of a treatment or the distress of your caregiver, you are less likely to follow through with the complex care plans. It also leads to a faster functional decline and increased caregiver burnout, making social cognition a vital factor in predicting the disease's overall impact.
So what intervention strategies, if there is any, are currently available for social cognitive disturbances in ALS?
This is a really interesting question, Elisa. Thank you. So given the progressive nature of ALS, our current approach focuses on compensatory strategies rather than restorative ones. First and foremost is psychoeducation with caregivers. We must explain that the family, that the patient lack of empathy is a biological symptom, not a choice. This reframing is incredibly powerful. Second, we use environmental modification. We teach family to use explicit communication. If the patient can no longer read a spouse sad expression, the spouse must learn to say, "I'm sad and I need you to listen." You move from a subtle social cues to explicit verbal data to reduce the cognitive load on the patients.
So I understand. And how can social cognition be effectively integrated into a multidisciplinary care of ALS?
It needs to be part of the routine checkup. We shouldn't just measure lung capacity and muscle strength. We should be screening for social cognition at the time of diagnosis. This allowed the multidisciplinary team, neurologists, psychologists, and speech therapists, to tailor their communication and set realistic expectations for the family regarding the patient's decision-making capacity.
So social cognition impairments are often invisible symptoms. How do, Anna, this change in personality and social interaction reshape the family dynamic? And how can caregivers be supported in managing this emotional toll?
So coming to like the most critical part of ALS care, when a patient loses motor function, the spouse becomes a caregiver. But when the patient loses social cognition, the spouse feels they've lost their soulmates. So we support them by validating their grief, acknowledging that caring for someone who doesn't seem to care back is uniquely exhausting. But then we provide clear communication tools, giving them a manual for how to interact with a brain that can no longer process subtle social signals. And then we provide psychological support, helping them to navigate the change in personality as a neurobiological reality of the disease, which can help reduce feeling of resentment and burnout.
So thanks, Anna, for your impressive preparation on the field. It was very nice listening to you. And thanks all the people that is listening with this this episode. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Elisa. It was really interesting to talk with you.
This has been EAN Cast Weekly Neurology. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcatcher for weekly updates from the European Academy of Neurology. You can also listen to this and all of our previous episodes on the EAN campus to gain points and become an EAN expert in any of our 29 neurological specialties. Simply become an EAN individual member to gain access. For more information, visit ean.org/membership. That's ean.org/membership. Thanks for listening. EAN Cast Weekly Neurology is your unbiased and independent source for educational and research-related neurological content. Although all content is provided by experts in their field, it should not be considered official medical advice.